Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
This past February, the unthinkable happened at a Corvette museum in Bowling Green, Kentucky. 8 collector Corvettes, valued at more than $1 million, fell into a sinkhole more than 60 feet deep. The worst damaged was a 2001 custom-made, one-of-a-kind Mallet Hammer Z06 racing car. There was really nothing left but a tire, the structural integrity totally lost, bent and mangled beyond description. Another badly damaged Corvette, the GM-owned 1993 ZR-1 Spider, fewer than 12 were made, had a large boulder crammed in the cabin. Some of the questions the museum officials had to ask in assessing the damage was, did enough of the car's unique body panel survive? Does the car still have structural integrity? Did its fundamental framework suffer too much damage? You see, my friend, a sinkhole is a depression or hole in the ground caused by some form of collapse of the surface layer. The formation of sinkholes involves erosion or gradual removal of slightly soluble bedrock, such as limestone, by percolating water, the collapse of a cave roof, or a lowering of the water table. Sinkholes near the Dead Sea are formed when the underground salt is dissolved by freshwater intrusion due to continuing sea level drop. In number 16, we have the story of Korah and the 250 influential princes of that day that rose up against Moses. And of course, when Moses began to pray and seek the Lord about what to do in the situation, we pick up really at the end of the story when Moses said in verse 28, "Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." And the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all their men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods." The Bible says that they went alive down into the pit, and the earth closed in upon them. So we get somewhat here of an Old Testament visible reality of sinkholes. You see, my friend, the fact of the matter is that disobedience can create sinkholes in life. They may not be as drastic as the one mentioned in Numbers, but spiritual sinkholes exist as well. One can sink into caverns of rebellion when they leave the good grounds of truth and start living on the temporary surfaces of greed and self-gratification. And when bedrocks of doctrine erode in the hidden places of the heart, the danger of falling into pits of perversion and apostasy increase. Oh, it begs the question, how can we ensure that our spiritual place in God is not threatened by sinkholes of disobedience? Well, my friend, it's to have a walk with God. It's to have the foundation of truth beneath your feet. It's to build your life upon the purposes of God, that which has an everlasting bedrock that cannot be moving. No matter how much shifting the world has, it's anchored because it's holding on to more than the earth. It's holding on to the everlasting Word of God. That's why the Hebrew writer said that the worlds are upheld by the Word of His power. Revelation 12 and 16 through 17 says, "And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." In this hair-raising allegory of the dragon attacking the chosen remnant, many who believe this to be the 144,000 of the last days, We see God supernaturally intervening with a sinkhole-like deliverance. The earth opens to swallow the encroaching malicious flood from the dragon. In similar ways, God can erode the underground areas beneath satanic strongholds, swallowing them up in ground-shifting moments of revival. The earlier reference to the Dead Sea's sinkholes due to intrusion of fresh water gives us relevant spiritual insight, because I believe that God often attacks the hidden places of darkness with deep flows of fresh anointing. It may appear on the surface that the enemy is winning, but what takes place in the heart of the matter, in the hidden caverns of intercession and spiritual warfare, influences a victorious outcome. The sinkholes of revival will open, and Satan's powerhouses of deception will come down. For the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Weapons, instruments, implementations of a powerful gospel that we have been given that can tear down the strongholds of hatred with those underlying flows of love, that can tear down the anxieties that come with calamities and the fears and torments that come with terrorist activity and demonic agendas. But there is a peace that passes all understanding. You can't see it on the outside. It's not relevant on the surface, but it's deep, flowing beneath the chaos, flowing beneath the terrors of society. It brings an intrusion of calmness in the hidden places of the heart. It combats the strongholds of fear with the gentle hushes of holiness. It combats the strongholds of demonic torment and condemnation with powerful underlying currents of assurance. And so love is a powerful weapon against the hatred of this world. Love that drives us to pray for all those who seem against us, to plead the blood for a cleansing of bitter thoughts and racial tensions. For on that moment when Jesus Christ put upon his back that beam of sacrifice, not able to even carry it up to the appointed hill of human execution, Simon from Cyrene having to carry it the rest of the way for him, but when it was there, the little hole dug out that would hold the cross, that tree of torture that was erected, 6 hours of suffering, Jesus shedding every drop of blood into the soils of human existence so that a church of deliverance and cleansing and hope could grow out of it, so that those who were trapped by anger and bitterness, resentment, fear and dread could stand and be delivered, so that those who have lived in the stronghold prisons of the past could feel the powerful intrusion of the fresh flowing rivers of the Holy Ghost that would bring down the strongholds of condemnation and shame. You see, it says that he's given us weapons that are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That word mighty there means that he gives us the capability that which may seem to be minuscule in the eyes of men is suddenly made mighty through the power of God. It would be like Samson defeating 1,000 Philistines in the Old Testament with nothing more than the jawbone of a dead donkey, or David stepping into the arena with the more skilled soldier and military prowess of the giant Goliath, and yet taking him down with the simplicity of his skills with a slingshot and one stone. That being empowered by God to the pulling down of strongholds. We go beyond that to understand that when we're fighting the enemy, when we're taking the offensive against all of the fallacies of this generation, against the theories of evolution that would like to poison our young men and women's mind with atheistic views of God, that the way we do it is to draw the sword of the Spirit. That's our weapon. It's the Word of God. It's the Holy Text. It's that which is forever settled in heaven. It doesn't need to be argued again to be proven. It proves itself over and over again. In fact, the worlds are upheld by the word of this power, that should that word cease to exist, then all the elements of the universe would collapse and collide, and there would be a great calamity and an end to all that we know. And this idea of pulling down is what gives us this concept of the sinkholes of this generation and the soul, of the strongholds of deception, of the mysteries of iniquity that are unfolding to a climactic end in this generation, where the Antichrist will rise up and seek to rule the world with superhuman powers and with a demonic agenda. And yet there is something that will pull down that stronghold. In the very end, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will destroy the Antichrist and the false prophet, the beast, and that old enemy, and all of the kingdoms that would stand against it. It'll be with the sword of his mouth. It'll come back to the origin of his word, the power of his word, the creative intelligence of his word, the military superiority of his word, the gargantuan strength of his word, the mountainous ability of the things that he has said that has the ability to bring everything else low. When you look at this word stronghold there in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, it's a word in the Greek that certainly speaks of things like forts and a keep, but also could mention a dungeon. And according to Vine's word studies, the word was not common in classical Greek, but it occurred frequently in the Apocrypha. And in its use here, there may lie a reminiscence of the rock forts on the coast of Paul's native Cilicia, which were pulled down by the Romans in their attacks on the Cilician pirates. Pompey inflicted a crushing defeat upon their navy off the rocky stronghold of Coruscesium on the confines of Cilicia and Pisidia. So we get this picture of how God can take the things that seem to be the most insignificant, overlooked, neglected by society. He can use them to bring down the strongholds of the enemy. God can take a little old grandmother who doesn't have much energy in her fingers and hands and legs, and certainly wouldn't be able to go into a military conflict with much ability or human prowess to bring intimidation to the enemy. She wouldn't be able to put on the garb of a Navy SEAL or dress like a Green Beret. She wouldn't be able probably hardly to even lift a Marine's saber or even know what to do with the magazines for a machine gun or an AK-47. But when she opens her Bible upon her lap and she stretches her eyes toward the heavens and begins to pray as she goes through the Word of God, oh, in that weak, feeble body of that old grandmother, it's like being a mighty general leading forces into the darkness against the empires and against the forts and strongholds of hell. Sinkholes begin to form and strongholds begin to collapse, and the revelation of truth can be found in the powerful prayers of the most feeble among us. And that's what makes us mighty. It's God taking the beggarly things and giving them a capability. That's why the word says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That word casting down means to demolish or to lower. And so it brings back into this context today of sinkholes, that those things that appear to be in the empire of darkness, insurmountable, indefatigable, unreachable, impregnable, oh, there are things going on beneath the surface, my friend. There are powers of prayer. There are intercessors that will never get 5 minutes on CNN or will never have a program on television for millions to see their face. But oh, when they begin to pray, God hears them and angel forces begin to move. It's like a demolition crew, my friend, and strongholds that may seem like there's nothing that can be done about them, suddenly they collapse as if it was happening all on its own. But that's what's been going on beneath the surface. There's an intrusion of an anointing. There's a river of the Holy Ghost that's flooding deep beneath the surface, eroding the anchorage of evil, if you will, the roots of rebellion, if you will, until there is nothing to support it, and it must come down. Oh, my friend, you may be facing something today that you feel like you can't overcome. It could be a relationship conflict. It could be a job situation. It could be a physical ailment. You may be going through an emotional torment from things that you remember from your childhood, or a present abuse that is going on, or something that you're facing with the loss of a friendship or a trauma or a tragedy. But oh, my friend, when you begin to pray, if you begin to take these things with a broken spirit before the Lord, you can join God's demolition crew. You can cast down and help come against the imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself against the love and the knowledge and the peace of God. You could bring into captivity those things that would seem to raise up an antagonistic cause against you and your faith. But you could stand, as it were, in the foundation of your mind, built with the Word of God. You could begin to stand upon those scriptures that you've been taught, that you've heard preached, and believe that there is still prophetic purpose and power in them, that the promises of God have not been lost, and you're going to see these things come down. You're going to see them demolished. You're going to see them brought low, just like the sinkholes begin to open. Think about it. It'll be just like when the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan River, and when they came to the Jericho walls, what seemed to be militarily superior to what they had to attack it, which seemed to be a place without foe or fear of destruction because it was so thick and high and would cause an obstruction against any desire of any enemy that would come along. But there was something the inhabitants of Jericho didn't consider, and that was the supernatural. If they were just simply observing upon human means, then they could go on in their arrogance and confidence, believing that their wall would save them from any attack. But after 6 days of marching and a seventh day of marching around those walls 7 times, there was a supernatural moment when the earth opened up and the Bible said the walls fell down flat. That sounds like a sinkhole to me. That sounds like God opened it up in a supernatural way, and whatever bedrock was beneath those walls that was supporting it was suddenly taken away. Whatever foundation those walls had to stand upon, to give the inhabitants of Jericho confidence, was suddenly lost, and they were left with their humiliation and embarrassment, and their need to flee and run. Oh, my friend, it's the same way in your life today. If there are walls that are built that seems insurmountable, God could bring them down. He can cast them down. He can demolish them. He can pull them down. You've got a strength and a mighty ability that doesn't come with human ingenuity or ability. It comes by your prayer. It comes by your connection to the cross of Jesus Christ. Look at that, for instance, that which appears to be the greatest weakness of God ever revealed to the world. And yet it's that old rugged cross and the pleading of that blood and the shedding of that blood that brings forgiveness to the lowest of sinners and causes the kingdom of death and of darkness to be in submission to what was performed on that day when the spotless Lamb gave himself to be the propitiation, the substitute for every sinner held captive by death, hell, and the grave. In fact, I was just reading the other day what was happening in Seoul, South Korea, where they are building the 6th largest skyscraper in the world, the Lotte World Tower, but it's being threatened by sinkholes. Several have been found in surrounding neighborhoods, and yet work on the 123-story, 1,820-foot tower is not going to be slowed. They're not going to stop it because they feel like there's not enough water to drain into the tower's foundations due to a slurry wall between the nearby lake and the construction. And so in their confidence, they continue to build this skyscraper, even though there's a threat of these sinkholes around. Well, to me, it gives us a picture in a spiritual sense of what the enemy of this last day will try to do. No matter what the warning signs are, and no matter what happens among the remnant and the sacred and those that will begin to pray and call upon the name of the Lord, they'll contend for their Tower of Babel system that will rise up and try to touch the stars and take control of the universe, if they will, not slowing their progress because they'll have confidence in their seducing spirit and their doctrine of devils, and they'll believe that everything is okay. But in a moment, everything will shift. Everything will change. Everything will come toppling down. Everything will come crashing through. Oh, my friend, if the enemy's trying to build a skyscraper in the middle of your mind and the way that you think and feel about yourself, you need to just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, and you need to believe that God can open up the ground like he did in that day for Moses, and like he did for the children of Israel at Jericho, and like he'll do according to the word of God, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God. That's the key. It's through God. It's not in ourselves. It's what Paul said to the Philippian church, I can do all things, but he didn't just leave it there. It wasn't a statement of human ingenuity or arrogance. He finished it by saying, through Christ, which strengthens me. It's the strength of God that takes our weak and feeble hands and makes them look better than what they are. And no matter what the enemy's trying to do or to construct against you, you can believe that what's going on in the hidden places of prayer and in your heart, there's going to be victory, and the enemy's kingdom is going to come crashing down. So I end this message today with this humorous thought. I read the other day where men were working on a temporary sump when the president of the oil company appeared, making his rounds. To check their progress, he asked if the bottom of the sump was solid. One of the workmen said that it was solid as could be. The president, eager to inspect their work, climbed into the hole to check it out. Immediately, he began to sink deep into the surrounding muck. "Hey," he bellowed, "you said the bottom was solid." "Oh, it is," answered the laborer. "You just haven't reached it yet." Well, my friend, you may have a sinking feeling going on in your life or at work or at home or in some other situation, and you're trying to figure out where the bottom is. But understand today that the grace of God will sustain you, that the mercy of the Lord is everlasting and his truth endures to every generation, that we truly are the sheep of his pasture. And if we are in his pasture, he's going to take care of us. He's going to feed us. He's going to clothe us. He's going to protect us. He's going to nurture us. He's going to lead us beside the still waters. We're going to drink from the fresh flows of his grace and diligence to keep us. He's not going to leave us in the wilderness. He'll give us manna. He won't leave us thirsty in the desert. He can bring water from a rock if he has to. So you need to know that no matter how far that you feel that you have sunk into a sinkhole of a trial and trying to figure out where the bottom is and how long the entrapment is going to be, just know that there is a solid foundation of truth and love that you can stand upon today, that God will not forsake you. He said, I would never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You may feel like today the time is running out on something that you're reaching for, something that you're trying to attain. But take confidence today in that sinking feeling that things are falling apart, or in that sinking feeling that the letter you just got in the mail is going to be even worse than what it originally sounds like. That the sinking feeling of the doctor's initial statement or phone call about coming back in for another checkup. Oh, just remember that you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He is the bedrock of all eternity, not just of your faith, not just of your location, but of the entire universe. He holds it together. There is no sinkhole of inability. There is no sinkhole of deficiency in his word, in his character. He can sustain you today no matter what you are facing. You need to believe that, and you need to know that. That needs to be the report of the Lord, that you believe no matter what your personal headlines are saying, or no matter what the statistical analysis is saying, or no matter what the naysayers are saying, or no matter what the pessimistic strongholds trying to be built up in your mind are saying. Trust in the word of God today and be strong in the Lord, in Jesus' name. While you control the universe, you have time to answer my prayer. As long as I live, I'll never understand. Well, you became the sacrifice for me. It's amazing, your love is amazing. All power in heaven and earth is yours. All glory.
Hi, this is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.